Evening. Welcome back, guys, to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We don't change the Bible. Brother Carlos here. I want to thank you guys for being in prayer and coming back. Amen. It sure is a blessing to see all of you that are here this evening, and I hope that we can continue to be a blessing to you as we continue in our verse-by-verse study through the topic that we've been spending time on. We're on the fifth part of our series of Read, Hear, and Obey, and so hope tonight will continue to be a blessing to you. With that said, guys, just a quick general update for those of you who've been praying for us regarding our recent crash. Guys, it's been a week. Today is our one-week anniversary since, unfortunately, last Wednesday, my wife and I were on our way to meet you guys, and we were struck by a drunk driver. Our health is progressing little by little, guys. We're just taking it a day at a time. Last Monday, a doctor in Claremont confirmed that my wife and I suffered concussions. And so as of right now, my wife, she's going through some symptoms of her cognition. So her thinking comprehension, if you will. She's struggling, if you will, you know, her speech, et cetera. For me, it's been more of an emotional trauma. So just my mood swings. It's hard for me to control my emotions up and down. I'm like joyful, but then I think about it and I just kind of get teary-eyed, if you will. So we appreciate all of you guys that are praying for us, and it's been a blessing. Yesterday, we had a good friend by the name of Brother Manny who helped me with laundry. He took the laundry for us. He took the water jugs for us. He filled them up with water, and that was a blessing. We took him out for dinner, and we saw his auntie at the Tip Top Meats. He had a chance to fellowship there. So I'm just thankful for the body of Christ coming along our side to be a help, and it's a little difficult right now. So any heavy weights, we're just very happy that they're helping to meet the need. Amen. And so with that said, that's how we're doing, and again, we're going to just continue to take a break for the evangelism outreach. However, I will share with you this evening that if you are able to take this Saturday off, for some of you who are not working or some of you who are able to try to get the day off, you guys know that our yearly tradition is we like to go to the Oceanside Parade to pass out tracts and hand out flyers. So Brother Manny called me today and said that since I share with him the burden that I won't be able to go this year because of our situation, you know, we were going to just take off. He really wanted to help our church and be a blessing by taking the lead. And he was willing to take all our tracks and get a couple of you guys who are willing to go and do it like we've been doing, just up and down the street, passing out flyers, having a smile. You got something to share, brother? This Saturday, the 24th. Yep. So, this Saturday, the 24th. Yeah. So Oceanside Parade is this Saturday, the 24th. And for those of you who have been with us in the past years, I know Felipe was able to go out there last year. He was on fire, amen, with Maribel. We, you know, how we usually get here. We pray together, get some breakfast. So around 8:30 to 9, you guys would carpool down there. And then we have a team that would start on one side of Wisconsin and another team in front of the library, right? Because it's that whole stretch. And then you guys just off on teams on different sidewalks. And you guys are just passing out tracts with a smile. And then you guys kind of do a loop. And then whenever Brother Manny or whoever's leading says, all right, guys, you know, we kind of got everybody, then call it a day. Come back here and we would have some lunch. Amen. So if you guys are willing, may you please let me know by Friday so that way I can let Manny know in love, hey, our church says they're willing to come along your side to keep that tradition going from our church to be a blessing. And that means a lot to me as your pastor that a friend of ours who doesn't come here to this church is willing to just help this church in keeping the ministry going. That really means a lot. So if you guys are willing, let me know. I'll let Manny know. I already asked Manny to talk to his pastor in love to get the blessing to just make sure everything's cool so he can help our church. Amen. Because it's important that church members get that blessing, that respect from their church because, you know, that's their primary, right? That's their home church ministry where they're serving. But I don't see anything issues there. So just let me know by Friday, Brother Carlos, we're down. You can count on us. So that way I can let Manny know. You can count on Felipe, Giovanni, Eileen, you know, to be there. And my wife and I would love to, but we just can't really walk a lot yet, and we're just kind of doing minor. So that'd be awesome. If you guys can keep that in prayer, I was going to order more tracks, but again, I just got discouraged. But now that I know that he's going to take it, I'm pretty sure we can take a lot of our boxes that we have back here, hand them out, and it'll be great. So let me know by Friday, church. I sure appreciate that. And then if you still want to get a shirt, let me know by Friday. $13.29 each, and I think for the long sleeve, it's about $15.16 with 30 cents. They're just Jesus Saves t-shirts. Those are part of evangelism ministry at our church. It sparks a conversation when you're out and about at the store. People like it. It's a way for you to just share the gospel. Amen. So let me know by Friday if you want one. You guys saw what they look like, and we'll take your deposits, and we'll make an order And if you don't, that's okay. Just know Friday. So that's what's going on for the calendar. So just keep that in prayer. And then as far as future goes, remember at the end of the year, Brother Lordson Rock from India will be coming in as a missionary brother. I'll let you know more details as it comes along. We're looking forward to possibly hosting him, you know, going forth, etc. All right, guys. So don't forget, you guys can find out a little bit more about us. We have some study blogs online. You guys can peruse those anytime. These are just some great articles that I've studied there for you to help you, if you will, with your study, answering some Bible questions. Or perhaps if you have a Bible question and you would like for me to give you a full in-depth kind of a visual illustration to help you understand certain things, if you will, then let me know, and I can help you with that. You know, I'll just give you guys an example for first-time visitors. I just kind of like to make some tracks to kind of defend certain doctrines that we believe in, and not only that, but just kind of historical Christianity. And so I have all the verses, kind of show you what's going on. So those are just like study blogs, amen. So if you have any idea or just peruse, kind of see if we might even help you with certain things, those are there for you. And if you need prayer, again, you guys can submit a prayer request right here anytime, amen. A family that prays together stays together. And if you're a member of this church, you guys can give any time of your finances, whatever you purpose in your heart, to say, Lord, I want to thank you for my pastor. Thank you for this ministry. You guys can give financially to support a ministry online or in the box back there. Remember, guys, we don't pass the hat. It's between you and God. And we'll trust you that you'll take care of that. And then last but not least, if you want to find out a little more about us, you just click on this. Our story. It'll give you a little history of how we started. And then here our beliefs. It'll kind of give you a little general outview of our statement of faith of some doctrines that we believe in, if you will. And if you have any questions, again, we're more than happy to answer them for you. But we're just here to help be a blessing of people, to help them study the Word of God and trust it and do some for Jesus. Amen. So there you have it. Those are our announcements. And before we start, how's everybody's week going? Everybody okay? Everybody good? Good. Thumbs up. Awesome. So yeah, guys, thank you for your prayers. I appreciate that, especially yesterday. My wife and I were very fortunate to have a brother. Man, he helped me with the water jugs and helping me with the laundry, guys. I mean, just being a minister, that's what it's about, you know. And I didn't want to call Brother Felipe because he's all the way on the other side of town. And I know Brother Joe, he's got a wife to serve. And I said, you know, I'm going to call that single guy, you know, he ain't got nothing going on. And he helped out. Amen. We took him out to dinner and we saw the tia. Amen. One of your guys' tias at the restaurant. She was so nice, man. She's such a sweetheart. So keep her in prayer, right? Hopefully she gets saved. Amen. And we just love on her. So she's a blessing. So thank you, guys. Keep that prayer going. And as of now, we're good, you know, if you will. But if brother, if Sister Maribel wants to make some chilaquiles and send them over too, brother, anytime, y'all can just come over. You're not worried, okay? All right, friends. This is going to be part number 5 now. And we've been talking about this series titled Read, Hear, and Obey. And this last portion of obey, we've just been learning together from the Bible in our verse-by-verse study of what it means when the Bible teaches to fear God, or when God gives a command to obey him and he says, fear of the Lord, or the fear of God, or because I'm God. What does that mean, and why is that important? And so today, this is going to be our part number 5 of going through that together. And so we're just going to continue to go through the notes, and hopefully we'll be able to finish tonight. And then we can resume back through our verse-by-verse study through the book of Acts, chapter number 28. God bless you. And hopefully, we'll be able to get there together. I do want to finish the book of Acts with you. So with that said, let's pick up where we left off from Proverbs chapter number 3. And then we'll continue through the notes. And so with that said, guys, hope you have a Bible open. If you came to church, you should have one. You should always cross-reference and make sure Brother Carlos is getting it from the book, amen? Not from my imagination or my spirit or a text message I feel like God just sent me. No, we want to study the Word of God, show ourselves approved, and then we want to feed the flock the Word of God, because my emotions cannot help you, my feelings cannot help you, my experience can't. The Word of God, the Bible says, is a sure foundation. All right, so hope you have your Bible there. Hope you're following along. And let's go ahead and open up now together, my friend, to Proverbs chapter number 3. And let's go together now. And if we go through verses a little too quick for you, don't be shy. You can look up to the screen. And here we go. So now let's read together, and we'll go ahead and open up with a word of prayer. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 7. The Bible says here, friend, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. And Lord, I thank you so much for people that are willing to come to a Bible study on a Wednesday night to be refreshed, to hear your word, Lord. And there's so much in the world, God, that they can listen to. There's movies, there's entertainment, there's family, there's friends, there's all those things, God, out there that can steal away their attention. But tonight, God, they chose to come to a little church in the neighborhood, God, just to learn more about the book, Lord. And so tonight, would you bless us with your presence, God, and help us to learn more how to be a better Christian, how to be a better wife, husband, child to our parents. Lord, we just want to obtain the information your Holy Spirit would have us to hear to help us to be a better Christian, God. And if that's not our heart tonight, God, I pray that that would be for some of us. Lord, help us to use any knowledge with the heart of charity and of love to help Christians, God, not to destroy, not to build down. But Lord, we want to build up other believers, Lord. So we thank you for what we're going to learn tonight from your word. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So fear of God. Remember from our last studies ago, I shared with you guys that when the Bible commands believers to fear him, not just Old Testament Israel, but now New Testament Christians, what does it mean to fear God? It means to be in awe of him. It means to be afraid. It means to have a reverence. It means to have a respect for God out of a sincere heart when you recognize his power, that he's the Almighty God. He is the Creator, the Most High. And so when he gives you a command and he refers you back to his hand in creation, or he gives you a command and he refers back to a judgment that he's poured out upon an individual or a nation, he's drawing your attention to remind you that he's God and you're not. And so when he wants you to fear him, it's for your own good. And remember last Wednesday and Friday, I try my best to give you guys a couple of analogies. The first one was a compass. Remember that? I said that your conscience is like a compass. And for those of you who have held one before, there's a little needle in there and it's trying to point due north, electromagnetic field. I want you to imagine that little needle is the fear of God. It's trying to help you to keep yourself walking this way. But you have two choices. You can listen to the needle or you can ignore the needle. You can acknowledge it and say, you know what, that's the right decision, or ignore it and then do what you want to do. But just know that the fear of God is a virtue from God to help you and to guide you and to bless you, not to to cause you shame or to cause you to cry or to cause you to hate God. It's to protect you from everything that's going to pull you away from God, from the care of this world. Remember last Sunday here at church, the cares of this world and the lust of other things, how they choke the word. And so just know that tonight it's okay to have the fear of God and to ask the Lord to help you to have more of it. Because look at what it says. God says in Proverbs 3:7, "Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil." The fear of God is going to assist you to depart from evil. So if you are not departing from things of this world or whatever that might mean between you and the Lord, then you're lacking in responding to the fear of the Lord. And so just ask God to continue to strengthen you, amen? So with that said, for these next couple of verses, guys, just look up at the screen. We're going to keep going through these, so don't be too shy. If you can't follow along, we're going to just go through these together as a church family. So just look up to the screen. All right, the next chapter here, chapter number 8 in the book of Proverbs, and verse number 13, Proverbs 8, verse number 13. Bible says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate." So remember I showed you guys last Friday that God does hate things, and there are certain things that he despises, and he despises people that are proud and people that have an arrogancy about their spirit and the evil way and the froward mouth. Remember I taught you guys from the Bible, what is frowardness? It's a stubbornness. It's somebody who doesn't want to be obedient to the word of God, and the Lord hates that. And so we should begin to acknowledge that within our own life. What are those things in our own life? And if you see those things in your life, start hating that. And what does that mean? Remember, it means to love less. Remember when Jesus said, if you don't hate your father, mother more than me, you cannot be my disciple. Remember in the other verse, he talked about love. If you love more, and so I want you to begin to ask yourself and do a spiritual exam on yourself. Am I still exercising pride? Do I still feel like I know it all, if you will? And if you do, just know God doesn't like that. He hates that. And so let's continue to grow in that area. Proverbs chapter 9, these are just kind of rehearsal verses, if you will. Verse number 10, we're going to just go through these quickly. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." And so the fear of God, it couples together with your knowledge of God. So you can't have a proper view or understanding of who the God of the Bible is if you don't have a godly respect towards him, if you don't have a godly, sincere heart to obey him, if you will. You're not going to fully understand who he is because of that pride in there that still wants to hold on to what you want to do, right? Every man right in his own eyes type thing. All right, Proverbs 10, verse 27. Like I said, we're just going to go through this quickly. The Bible says here, friend, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. So remember how I showed you guys, especially for youth, if you're a child here tonight or young and you still live under your parents, God gives you a command to honor thy father and thy mother that thy days may be prolonged. And so there is a promise of a possible extension to your physical life when you honor your parents. But now, inwardly, notice the fear of God prolonged days. And so I gave you guys an analogy. A man who gets addicted to drugs and he doesn't repent of it, he could possibly die because of all the things that he inherits from that lifestyle. His days were shortened. And so just know in your life, whatever that might be, the fear of God can help you to live longer. But when you live after the flesh and you continue to do things habitually without repenting and you stay on that track, right, your life might be shortened before your time, if you will. So just remember, continue to walk in the fear of God. Remember examining all your decision-making by what is pleasing to him. Okay, here we go. Now we're going to pick up with new verses that we left off from last Friday. Proverbs 14, verse number 26. The Bible says here, my friend, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. So as you guys can see here, the more that you guys walk in the fear of the Lord, it's going to build your maturity. It's going to build your security. And knowing who he is and knowing the things that he approves of, the more that you walk in the fear of God, you're going to know just without necessarily even praying. Now, hear me out. You don't necessarily have to pray about a thing because you already know if it's right or wrong before the Lord. Amen. And so just know it's going to help you with that. Look at the next verse, 27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. So notice, the fear of the Lord is trying to help you to depart from evil, depart from the snares of death. So yes, the fear of the Lord is going to help you to live separate from the things that are going to hurt you. Amen. So just think about it like that. Let's keep going. Chapter 15. We're in the book of Proverbs still. I'll tell you when we go to new book. Verse number 16. Bible says here, better is a dinner of herbs where love is. Oh, not that verse. But that is a unique verse. Y'all can read that later. Than an ox and hatred there is. So don't eat tacos if they were made with hatred. Amen. Y'all better make some dinner with love. Amen. I always ask people, is the main ingredient love? And they laugh when I say that. There it is right there. But here we go. Verse number 16. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Remember in the New Testament, 2 Timothy 3 and 1 Timothy 6, it warns about Christians who desire to be rich, because the Bible says how you can be ensnared and drowned with many sorrows. There's nothing wrong with education. There's nothing wrong with furthering your opportunities of success to get that mammon, to take care of your family, pay your bills, all that. There's nothing wrong with it. It's only when you begin to desire that without having contentment with Jesus. And so you can get trouble. You can have troubles when your heart begins to drift from the sufficiency of God for the, if you will, receiving of the worldly things. So you might be poor, but hey, you're poor with the fear of God. You're poor with a peaceful spirit and your contentment with the Lord. So there you have it. It's definitely good. Nothing wrong with that. Let's keep going now to verse number 33, same chapter 15. Look here. Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. So if you're not being taught the Bible with a admonition and a reproof to say, this is why, because God said, in other words, you know you should, because this is what God said, and you know you're going to have to answer him, just know that you should always incorporate that within your teaching and your Bible study, that we're here because we fear God, because we know he exists. We know he is the Almighty, he's the maker, and we know one day we're going to have to stand before him to give an account, not for salvation, because remember, we're saved by grace through faith, trusting the blood of Jesus Christ, but for our actions, if you will. One day, you are going to have to give an account to Jesus Christ by yourself. You're not going to be there with your pastor. You're not going to be there with any teacher you like to listen to. You're not going to be there with friends or family. You're going to stand before the sinless Savior one day to give an account. And so the reason why, brother, you should continue to be faithful to your wife is because of the fear of the Lord. The reason why, wife, you should continue to be in submission to your own husbands and everything is because of the fear of the Lord. The reason single Christians and children should be pure in their bodies and everything else is because of the fear of God. And so remember, you're measuring that because one day you will have to give an account. Just keep that in the back of your mind. Okay, Proverbs 16. Again, we're just talking about the fear of God. Verse number 6. The Bible says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Again, I don't mean to don't necessarily need to comment on this verse. It's fairly self-explanatory. It's departure, right? The Lord is going to keep teaching you, don't do, right? And do this other thing. Okay, Proverbs chapter 19, verse number 23. Next verse, like I said, friend, we're just going to go through this quickly. The Bible says, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide, what does that say? Satisfied, that's good. He shall not be visited with evil. So I want you to think about it like this. If you're over here and there's a river of water and it's a constant flow, you won't necessarily run out of water that's constantly poured out from this particular spout over here. You have access to this water. You're never going to have to worry about running out. But as soon as you turn to the other side over here, this water flow panel over here, it just kind of spigots out here and there. You know, there might be a little clot or something that's kind of hindering it from flowing out. It's not tending to your needs. This one over here will. This one over here won't. This one over here is a fountain of life. It's going to continue to keep you satisfied. The other one won't. You have to keep scraping. You have to keep trying to feeding for any little droplets that you might get. I want you to think about that as an analogy when it comes down to the world and the things of God. The Bible says here, the fear of the Lord, it's going to keep you satisfied. The reason why some Christians are not satisfied and hence they live in sin or live carnally is because why? They're not living in the fear of the Lord. They're ignoring it in their heart, in the inner man. They're ignoring that spiritual virtue, and that's why they think that if they go back to the girl, the guy, the booze, the drugs, they'll be satisfied. But friend, that's quite the contrary. The Bible says what they really need is the fear of God, because it's going to keep them satisfied over here with this water. So I just want you to continue to think about it, ponder it like that. That God will keep you satisfied if you let the fear of God continue to guide your decision-making. Okay, next chapter, verse number 22 here, or chapter 22, verse number 4. Bible says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Now, friend, we know that there are many type of Christians on this earth. We know that there are wealthy Christians. We know that there are poor Christians. But I want you to remember, what is the kingdom of God? According to the New Testament, it is the spiritual kingdom, right? Kingdom of heaven, physical. We already talked about that. The Bible says in Romans 14, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Remember that? But righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So when you're walking in the fear of God as a Christian, you know what God is going to satisfy you with? He's going to satisfy you with his riches, his life, and his honor. And therefore, as you continue to live in that, and as you continue to let that be your guide, no wonder why you're increasing in knowledge. No wonder why you're increasing in conviction. No wonder why your life is beginning to become more separate, and people see something emanating from you. It's because you're being satisfied by God. And there's all these things in you that are clearly abundantly being produced in you, which you no longer need from the world. And people are like, man, what is that? It's because the fear of God is helping you. It's tending to you. Remember, you're tapping into the fountain of life. So just keep that in the back of your mind. Chapter 23, verse number 17. Let's keep going there. I made it easy for you, friend. I just got all the verses here. We'll just go through this together. Look at me now in verse number 17. The Bible says, let not thine heart envy sinners. I don't know about you, friend, but sometimes I look at people and I still, once in a while, say, man, I wish I had what they had. Or, man, if only we had that church building. Or, and if only we had as many more people like that church did, or if only. Remember we talked about that at church, envy, envious, covetousness, that's a work of the flesh. You know what the Lord says? Don't worry about other people. Don't look to what other people got. Don't envy that spouse or that husband or those riches or whatever. No, don't envy. You know what he says? But be thou in the fear of the Lord. How long? Anybody reading with me? All the day long. And so all the day long, God wants you to let that compass and that little point keep your heart and mind on where? Northbound, which is his word. Yeah, there's the car coming by that you wish you had. Yeah, there's the boss that has the more money than you do. Yeah, there's, and then fill in the blank. You know you want it. We all know those things. But you know what the Lord says? Don't worry about it. Because what did he say in chapter number 22? With him are riches, life, and honor. If you let the fountain of life, the fear of God, guide you. All right? All right, chapter number 24. Let's keep going. Verse number 21. Verse number 21. The Bible says here, friend, my son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change, and so on and so forth. So again, the fear of God is going to help you not only to be a good child of God as a Christian, But yes, it's going to assist you to be a good citizen to your nation. So remember that how Paul said in the book of Corinthians, we want to live without offense to the Gentile and to the Jew and to the church of God. Remember that 1 Corinthians 10. So yes, if you're living in the fear of God, you're going to honor the laws of your land. You're going to be a faithful co-worker in the workplace. You're going to be a faithful citizen, right? No, the police ain't going to have to worry about you breaking the laws, what I'm trying to tell you. But when a Christian is not living in the fear of God, no wonder they get pulled over. No wonder they disrespect, you know, their nation and laws. We're not talking about things that go contrary, you know, abortion and all that stuff. We're talking about things that you and I know are obviously sound. You know, we're honoring that. Just know it's going to help you and it's going to benefit you even in your citizenry. There you have it. Okay, Proverbs chapter 29. We're almost done here within the neighborhood of Proverbs, chapter 29, verse number 25. Look here, my friend. Bible says here, the fear of man bringeth a snare. I'm not sure about you, friend, but people pleasing is hard. I've tried it. It doesn't work because I'm not satisfied. Remember that? When you keep trying to get the favor of some individual in this world, it's going to wear you out. It's going to wear you down. A snare, it's just going to catch you by the foot and you're not necessarily going to be able to continue to progress in life because it's not on the right one whom you truly need to live your life by those virtues and those codes and those laws by. But the Bible says, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. So I just want to encourage you tonight, friend, don't worry about what man thinks of you. You want to worry about what Jesus thinks of you. Because he's the one before whom you will stand. Remember that. Just keep that in the back of your mind. If you're living in the fear of God, then men will be honored by your life because you're being a blessing, right? You're not your neighbor's not going to have to worry about you trying to take their possessions, take their wife. You understand? So, fear of God. Okay, Isaiah. Isaiah, chapter number 8. If you want to turn there now, this is really good. Let's go there together. Isaiah, the 8th chapter. And look with me now. And as you guys can see at our church, we love to go through scriptures, and we believe that all scripture is given by inspiration. It's profitable and instructed for righteousness and so on and so forth. And so we rightly divide. We understand as a Christian, certain things are for the nation of Israel. However, we're going to look at it for the spiritual lesson that we can gain. And as you guys can see all throughout this Old Testament book, there's a lot of spiritual application that we can apply to our lives. And so here's another great verse that God uses great prophet Isaiah to minister to the nation of Israel thousands of years ago. And look with me now what he says here, my friend, in verse number 12. The Bible says here in Isaiah chapter 8, verse number 12, say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy. Neither fear ye their fear nor be afraid. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. Oft times, you're going to read in the Old Testament that Israel, whenever they would get in a bind, a foreign nation is going to come in and invade their land, right? Sometimes they would try to make a league or an agreement with another Gentile nation who has a strong military rather than trusting in God because they're afraid of what? Dying. They're afraid of their women getting pillaged. They're afraid of losing all their spoils. And therefore, they would try to make a deal with men versus God. And so here's the prophet telling the nation of Israel, don't try to make an agreement with all these people. Come on, let's do this. We'll come together. No, you need to come back to God. You need to put your trust back in God. He's the one that's going to fight on your behalf. And if you want to get some good wisdom on that, just know 1 Kings, 2 Kings, read about King David, King Saul, read about all those kings. And whenever they would try to just trust in a man's army for their preservation, it would fail. When they would cry out to God, remember that, he would have compassion and obviously deliver them mightily. So just know, let your fear be God. Let it be Jesus, amen. Let it be the word of God to continue to lead you and guide you. Another way, and these are just some notes here, another way that God proves to the world why he alone should be feared above all is because he alone is the creator of the heavens and the earth. Remember that God created all the classifications of the angelic creature. What do we say that is? The cherubim, the seraphim, the angels, and obviously that includes Lucifer. So there's nothing in creation which should be feared more than the creator himself. Sometimes I'm evangelizing downtown and you guys have been with me, and people try to scoff, they disrespect, and oh, Satan rules, you know, they'll say some silly things like that. I'm like, yeah, but he loses, you know, like, have you read the end of the story? It's like, they're foolish, but Lucifer knows, all the devils, when you read about that in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, Jesus would interact with these devils, and what would they say? art thou come to throw us into the abyss or into the deep? They know that their time is short. And so if the devils know that and Satan knows that, then you should fear God, not the devils or the principalities. And don't fear what the world wants to call the Illuminati and all the secret societies and all that. No. Fear God, because he is the creator over all things, and you won't have to worry about man. If you want a good verse to encourage you about why you should fear God, not man, look with me up to the screen now. Look at Jeremiah chapter 5. This is a very great verse here. Verse number 22, Jeremiah 5, verse number 22. This is a great verse, so just remind yourself of why I should trust God. Look what he says here. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord. He's asking the people a question through Jeremiah. Don't you fear me? Will you not tremble at my presence, which I've placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree, that it cannot pass it? And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail? Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it? You know what he just told them? Shouldn't you fear me? I created that sand. I created that sea. You know that tsunami? I created all that force and that power of the waves in this earth. Shouldn't you fear me? Why are you going to fear the Syrians or the Babylonians or the Persians? No, you fear me. And so in the end of the day, I just want to encourage you, especially Christians today who get tossed to and fro from different preachers online and YouTube that want to go off of secret societies and government this and corruption that. No. Fear God. The Republicans didn't create the dirt. Democrats didn't create the dirt. The communist governments, they don't have any power or authority over the sea and all those elements. Fear God. And the more that you walk in the fear of God, you know what the Bible just told us earlier? You're going to have confidence, because you're not going to govern your life by what the worldly powers are trying to do to try to steal your heart with all their, what is this going to happen? No, I'm walking in the fear of God. I know who my God is. He's the creator of that sand and that sea. So there you have it. That's a great verse. Just encourage yourself and why you should fear God. So we just covered all the Old Testament verses now on the fear of God. We're going to start now, before we close up our series, on New Testament verses on the fear of God. Without going through all these verses, I'll just name a few for you. The first mention that you're going to see in the New Testament is in Luke 1, when the angel came to Mary and told her, "Fear not." Remember when she was pronounced that she would be the one who would birth the Savior into the world. You can read that in Luke 1:30. Later, in Luke 5:26, the people were amazed. They glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, "We've seen strange things today," and so on and so forth. More applying to us as Christians, I want to start focusing on that this evening so we can begin to learn more about that. Would you do me a favor? And let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to Romans chapter number 3. Romans, the third chapter. Before we close this evening, I'd like to teach you about what the Bible says about how people act when they don't have a fear of God. Or what does the Bible describe about people who ignore the fear of God or rebel against the fear of God, and how you should beware of those people. And hopefully that's not you this evening, and you're going to see the outcome of their life. And it's not good. I'll show you tonight why it's not good. But I want you to see, and all these things that God describes of unbelievers in general, and remember that before you became a born-again Christian, you were one of these people that God described. So we were there not too long ago. So remember, we don't want to get haughty and heady like, "Oh, I'm no longer that, and I'm more spiritual." No, you're just a step away from falling again to sin. Remember that in Galatians 6, it warns you, "He who thinks he standeth, take heed lest he fall." So I'll just peruse this. In Romans 3, remember, there's no one good, no, not one. Remember that? Verse number 11, no one understands, no one seeks after God. They're all gone out of the way, right? So on. You can read that. Their throat is an open sepulcher. Remember that? It's like a tomb. Their tongues they've used was deceit. You guys see that in verse 13. In their lips is the poison of asps. Remember that? Verse number 14. And their mouth, they're full of cursing and bitterness. That was you before you got saved. It didn't matter if you were a dark shade guy or a light shade girl. I'm just telling you, it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. Sin in your heart, and as you progressed in life, you at times were a cursing, bitter sinner with poison in your mouth who cared nobody about you but you and you only, and you did things because you didn't have a fear of God. And hence, some of us have reaped those consequences over time. Obviously, Jesus saved your soul. You no longer are condemned. But I'm just telling you, the reason why we did what we did and lived the way we live is because we didn't have the fear of God. As a matter of fact, we had a choice and we rebelled against it. Go down with me now all the way to verse number 18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Do you see there? So when the Bible describes unbelievers and an unbeliever continuing in their way of rebellion, all right? Anybody from a disobedient child to their parents, remember that, Romans 1, to a homosexual, Romans 1, to a murderer, Romans 1, to anybody under the sun who's not saved. Bible says they're going to continue living after their eyes because they have no fear of God. They choose not to give in to that conviction when the Holy Ghost brings about to their attention, pricking their heart, you know that's wrong, and they ignore it willingly. Remember that Romans 1, I taught you already, unbelievers, all mankind, the Bible says, they hold a truth in unrighteousness. Remember that? And so they have it available, but all they're doing is ignoring it. And then what they do is they change it into a lie, Romans 1 teaches. And so no wonder why the guy ended up becoming a murderer. No wonder why some of my siblings right now in Mexico, they became lesbians and narcos and gangsters over here. And whoever you are today before you got saved, no wonder why you did the things you did, because you were just living without the fear of God. And it's sad because we know we face the consequences. So that's why a lot of people will never become born-again Christians, and eventually they'll end up in hell and a lake of fire. Why? Because they chose not to fear God. They decided, and unfortunately, they deceived themselves into thinking that there is no God, unto whom one day they will give an account, and Satan will eventually fill their hearts with blindness to keep them blind from the fear of God for the fear of man. And that's a dangerous place to be when men choose to fear a creature, now listen, more than the Creator. In whatever application that might be in today, economically, socially, it doesn't matter. When men choose to fear a creature more than the Creator, that's a bad place to be. So as a Christian, you don't need to fear man anymore. You still need to fear God because, again, what did he say? I made that dirt. I made that sea. I made everything, right? Don't worry about no government, society, this and that. Don't worry about your past. Worry about God. All right, let's keep going now. New Testament stuff. Romans chapter 8. This is going to be good for you now. Let's get it back on a little positive note. Romans 8, verse number 15. Positive, positive, positive. Amen. I don't know why. I don't know if you've ever seen those friends out there. Oh, I'm sending you positive thoughts. Well, they haven't come yet, amen. I don't know if it's still in the USPS. Brother Giovanni hasn't put it in my mailbox, but I don't know where those positive thoughts are, amen. But, you know, we understand what they're trying to say. They're trying to be nice. They just don't want to acknowledge God, right? The whole frequencies, you know. We got a lot of people that were, you know, sending us, my friends on Facebook, and we love them. We love them. But I just find it funny when they say that. But now, listen here, Romans 8:15. If you're a born-again Christian tonight, what does that mean? That means that you trust that Jesus Christ was God who died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. That's the gospel. When you trust that, here is what God will give you in return. Look with me now, Romans 8:15. The Bible says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So, when you became a born-again Christian, you didn't receive the bondage of fear as it pertains to condemnation that the laws of Moses, the laws that God placed in your conscience, Romans 2, condemned you as a sinner. You didn't receive condemnation when you became a Christian. You received adoption, justification, and when you became saved, the Holy Spirit of God was immediately sent in your heart, and he empowered you now to no longer be distant from the Almighty God up there, but now to be reconciled through his son Jesus, whereby you call him Daddy. That's what Abba means in Hebrew, Abba, 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 Father. And so I just want to encourage you now, Christians, you don't have to fear of condemnation as a Christian. The unbeliever fears because they don't have security in Jesus Christ, but you do. So after trusting the gospel, the result of your faith removes from you the condemnation of God to reconciliation with God. In that sense, there is no reason to fear. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. Let's go there together. All right, the Bible says now, friend, 1 Corinthians chapter 16. We're just now going to focus on some New Testament stuff here. As Paul and all the brethren are doing ministry, if you will, they're kind of going along, and Paul and Timothy, they're doing their ministry. He says here, now if Timothy has come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do. Now, I just want to point out, this is very unique. It's crazy how the Holy Spirit needed to tell the church at Corinth to not cause any reason of fear for the coming of Timothy to help them. Don't treat him with evil. You better treat him kindly so he doesn't have a reason to be afraid to be with you. I just find it unique where or whenever Christians have a reason to fear Christians. They shouldn't. They shouldn't. Now, we know that when Christians are carnal, and obviously they're living contrary to New Testament scripture, I can see where Christians can become uncomfortable. But Christians should never fear fellowshipping with Christians. So one more time, look with me in verse number 10. When Timothy comes, look at what he says, see that he may be with you without fear. Why? Because he's working with me. Don't treat him with evil. Don't make him fearful from wanting to come back to you. Amen. Anybody should always feel welcome at this church and any church who claims the name of Christ to not fear. We know cults are obviously in existence, but no, I'm just talking about sincere born-again Christians. There should always be love expressed and felt by anybody. Amen. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Now we're going to give you some more application here for you tonight, my friend. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 1. I remember sharing this verse with a dear friend of mine a long time ago, and I told him that we still need to grow and mature, and we still need to take what God has given us and apply and do something with the new heart that he gave us, right? To better ourselves as a husband, a mother, a wife, a church member, everything. Because you're not perfected yet in all things until the day of the rapture or you die, right? You be with the Lord in glory. So until you get to either of those two things, you know what God is expecting out of every single one of you here tonight? He's expecting for you to keep working on yourself with what he's given you. Now listen with me now, friend. Hope you're following. 2 Corinthians 7:1. The Bible says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us, okay, let me repeat that one more time. Let us cleanse ourselves. So husband, it's not your job to cleanse your wife. Wife, it's not your job to cleanse your husband. It's your job to clean yourself. So let me repeat that again. Let us cleanse ourselves from what? All filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Perfecting what? Holiness in the... There you have it, Christian. So when these Christians go around sometimes, and I know their heart's intent. I know they're not trying to be dogmatic and, you know, they're not trying to cause division. I understand. You know, I don't sin no more and I don't have to fear no more. I don't have to do this. They just haven't read their Bible. And that's okay. We love on them. But yes, you still need to fear God, Christian. You need to continue to perfect every area in your life where you have a lust over here, desire over there, a lust of the heart over here, a lust of the mind over there. Wherever there are those desires that are contrary to the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what the Lord said? You got to clean yourself. Some of you, when you eat with your dishes, you put them in the sink, and at some point, either mom, dad, child goes over there, gets a sponge, cleans it, put it on the dish rack. Why do you do that? Because when you eat again, you want to eat with a clean plate. Now, some of y'all who don't do that, paper plates, amen, boom, throw that in the trash, amen. But we got some spoons my wife and I still need to wash, right? You don't want to keep using something dirty over and over again. So whatever that is in your life, I'm giving you an analogy again. You need to keep cleaning that. God ain't going to do that for you. Now listen to me clearly when I say that. One more time, read your Bible. Let us cleanse ourselves. So here's what God does. He presents to you the gospel. Somebody knocks on your door, a coworker, somebody says, hey, friend, we really want you to consider Jesus Christ. Remember the gospel, he died for you, all that. Okay, some of you said, okay, I want to be saved. What do I need to do? I need to trust the gospel, ask the Lord to save you. Okay, Lord, I believe you died for me, rose again. So you prayed. You got saved. Holy Spirit of God supernaturally came in your heart. You might not feel him. Some of y'all say, oh, I got goosebumps. Okay, whatever. You got saved by faith. There you have it. But over time progresses, you don't really feel, you know, anything anymore. You're not really feeling God or God's presence, you know, kind of drifts from the emotional ecstasy of salvation's first conversion moment. And over time, you begin to notice that you still got some things in your life that didn't necessarily change overnight. Anybody here? And over time, you still made some mistakes. You still sin after you got saved. But you have Jesus, you have the Holy Ghost, you have the God the Father. Bible says it. But but you still have you. So here's what God wants you to do. He wants you to use what he gave you. He's not going to force you, Christian. You're not going to be forced to pick up that Bible. You're not going to be forced to come to church. Husband, you're not going to be forced to love your wife. Wife, you're not going to be forced to submit to your own husbands and so on and so forth. You have to willingly love God enough to let the Spirit of God do what he wants. And when he is operating in your life through conviction and all that stuff, and then you apply it, you get the dish, you get the sponge, you get that spiritual soap, and you begin to clean those areas out of your life, you're going to see what we call this perfecting. What does that mean? It's a word in our King James Bible that denotes maturing. You're going to see a progressive state of growth. And obviously, for those of us, we all were born, right? We were a baby, a toddler, an adolescent, and so on. It just like that, in that sense, right? You're maturing as a physical human being. You're going to mature as a spiritual child of God, but you need to keep doing that. And you can only take care of you. So you say, Brother Carlos, I've been trying my wife. You need to keep taking care of you. You say, Brother Carlos, but my husband, you need to take care of you. Because in the end of the day, remember, you're only going to stand before who? Jesus Christ at the judgment seat. Don't worry. You keep trying your own and watch how the Lord will help you. Anybody here? So living practically now in the fear of God is what helps us perfect holiness in our walks before him. I want you to consider that as a special spiritual vitamin, if you will, for our daily intake. Anybody take vitamins here? Fish oils? No. Okay. I got some last night. Living in the fear of God, therefore the living God, will help maintain our obedience to his words, because fear of disappointing God, a fear of hurting God's heart, fear of shaming him. You know what that's going to do? It's going to help you to maintain living in a manner that is good before him. You say, is it possible to hurt God's heart? Yes. Go to the book of Hebrews. My soul has no pleasure in him that draws back. Go to Ephesians 4:30. You know what the Bible says? We can grieve the Holy Spirit of God. So just like you're grieved when your son doesn't listen to you, just like you're grieved when your husband or wife doesn't meet that need, you can grieve God when you don't walk in the fear. A couple more minutes. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's go there. Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5. A couple more minutes. We're just going to end with now giving you more of a practical sense. Amen. Ephesians 5. For all of us as born-again Christians, it is our individual duty and responsibility to maintain our fear of God, our fear of God meter. We must continue to make sure it's healthy. We got to make sure it's free from anything that would distract it from being filled. That's the idea, that we no longer have to worry ourselves with how we live after conversation, our conversion, or that we will not give an account for our willful actions after salvation. That's when your fear of God meter will become hindered. I want you to use this analogy that I'm giving you of the fear of God meter like a rain gutter, if you will. When it gets filled with a lot of debris, it will no longer be able to flush the water, you know, smoothly down the pipe to get it out. It's just going to begin to overflow because there's, you know, leaves, dirt, and debris. When you don't take care of your fear of God meter, that's when you'll become deceived, like God, the Bible says, how we will deceive ourselves, that we're not going to have to give an account, right? Like, oh. But God wants every saved child to keep learning his word, to walk in his fear for our good. So remember that, Christian friend, Ephesians chapter 5. Look with me now. Go down here with me in your Bible to verse number 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the what? Fear of God. But Brother Carlos, you don't know my husband, but do you fear God? But Brother Carlos, you don't know my wife, but do you fear God, sister? But Brother Carlos, you don't know my children, but do you fear God? Child, do you fear God? Church member, do you fear God? So all of that, you see, when our flesh begins to deceive us into thinking it's okay not to fill in the blank, it's because you're ignoring the fear of God meter. There are certain things in that meter of yours that is being blocked. It's some debris. What do you got to do? You got to clean it. 2 Corinthians 7, what do you have to do? Cleanse yourself. So whenever there's something in our flesh that does not want to submit, it's because there's a lack of the fear of God. I don't mean to belabor this point, but I'll just give you the synopsis. What is the order of God in the family? For those of you who have been coming to our marriage discipleship class, Brother Felipe should know this by now. It's God the Father, God the Son, the head of the wife is the man, The head of the children is the woman. That's the order within the structure. If the man is not submitting himself in the fear of God to the son and to the father, it's because he's lacking the fear. If the wife is not submitting herself unto her own husband as unto the Lord, it's because she's lacking the fear of God. If the children are not submitting themselves unto their parents, it's because they lack the fear of God. Let's take it a next step. Some of you have a workplace you go to. Some of you have a boss. When you don't want to submit to your boss, you're lacking the fear of God. When you come to church and you don't want to submit to your pastor, cough, cough, you're lacking the fear of God. Notice, submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. It's for our good. That's where by faith we all have to exercise to keep trusting, to keep telling ourselves, it's for my good. When I begin to entertain all the ifs and the buts and the, well, I shouldn't, brother and sister, that's your flesh. That's not the Holy Spirit in your heart. It's the Word of God just telling him. So let's close with these last two verses and we'll call it a night. Submission is easy to maintain when love for God is the reason for it. Submission will continue with love for God. Rebellion comes when hate for God arises, and it will continue so long as we abide in hate towards God's command. The reason God wants the husband to fulfill his intended job description for his Christian wife and vice versa, the reason God wants the members of a local church to fulfill their intended job description towards their pastor and leadership, the reason why he wants Christians to be submissive to their employers and so on is because of what? The fear of God. Anybody here? While fulfilling whatever role we find ourselves in today, we won't sin against God, our spouse, our church, our workplace. We won't sin against those whom we are serving and helping because the fear of God reminds us. The fear of God instructs us. It convicts us. It teaches us what is right and what is wrong and directs us to the good for our benefit. Two more verses and we'll close in prayer. Philippians chapter 2. You say, Brother Carlos, man, I didn't know the New Testament tells me as a Christian, I still got to live by the fear of God. Well, now you know. Now you know. So what do we got to do? We got to let the Lord instruct us, correct us, and now let's move on. Amen. Let's move on. If anybody here is struggling, just go to God in prayer and ask him to help you. Praise the Lord. He loves you. He'll give you that strength. Amen. All right, Philippians chapter 2. This is going to be the one of the last verses we'll close with here this evening. Philippians chapter 2. Bible says here, my friend, in verse number 12, let's read together verse 12 through 14 just to get you some good meat here. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, can that be said of you tonight? Are you an always obedient Christian, or are you a sometimes obedient Christian? Are you an always obedient husband to your wife, or are you a sometimes obedient husband to your wife? Are you an always obedient wife to your husband, or are you a sometimes? You know what the Holy Spirit assumes about these believers? Always obedient. I don't know about you, friend, but I need help. And if you're honest, you can say, Brother Carlos, I need help too. I want to be an always obedient. Anybody here? So he says, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. So Paul, what is he saying here? When I'm around, you guys are doing what I said. When I'm gone, out of the church, pastoring here, you're at home by yourself in the room, you're obeying still. But now much more in my absence. So now when I'm gone, notice what he says. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He is not talking about you earning your salvation by your good works. He's not talking about you maintaining your salvation with good works. He is telling you to work out from what salvation has provided for you. The Holy Spirit, a new heart, new desires. From everything that God has created within you when you were born again, he wants for you now to work from that with what? Fear and trembling. So yes, you should continue daily knowing, man, I should show up to work on time. I should love my wife. I should fill in the blank. Why? Because I fear God. Now look at verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So according to the Bible, it's good that you walk in the fear of God. It's good that you are measuring every choice and decision with, is this pleasing to him or not? And it's God through the Holy Spirit pricking your heart, convicting you here and there. Come on, son, you know better. Come on, daughter, you know better. And then look at this one, verse 14. Who's a Bible believer here? Anybody believes the Bible here? All right, now. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. So the next time, brother, you argue with me about why you cannot love your spouse as Christ the church, and sister, why you tell me why I can't submit to my husband, and church member, you know, murmuring, complaining about pastor, and you just said that you're a Bible believer. You raised your hand. Do all things. What does all mean in the Greek? All. Without complaining. What am I just trying to tell you? Brother and sister, God will supernaturally give you his joy, his riches, his honor when you're being submissive to him to do what he told you to do unto your husband, unto your wife, unto your church, unto your employer. He'll help you to feel that on the inside. But the reason you're not feeling that on the inside is because you're still murmuring. You're still disputing. You're arguing with God of why you shouldn't obey him. Why? You forgot that he made that dirt. You forgot that he made that water. You forgot that he is the Almighty. I know it's getting a little hot tonight, so we'll close you with this last verse. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Let me land on a positive note. Anybody here positive? 2 Timothy chapter 1, we'll end on a positive note. Amen. Bible says here, my friend, let's go there together. This will be our last verse. As I close, let me just give you some notes. It's the fear of God that is the fuel to our spiritual engine that will keep us going, keep you traveling, providing the energy to our vessel to obey the commands of God and maintaining good works. Because the fear of God will instruct you on how to keep living right before him prior to every decision we make. I believe the reason so many of our brethren, and I, remember, I'm Brother Moat, carnally, worldly, you know how they call them, backsliders. The reason why some of us get to that is because when the fear of God tried to teach us, we ignored it. And when we ignored it, there was something else that stole away our heart's interest from following him in those moments, whether it was a woman, a man, a desire, an emotional desire, physical. God help us, and God help our carnal brethren to come back. Amen. Last verse, let me leave you with something positive. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse, I mean, but all the word of God is positive. Anybody out there? But here it is. Positive note. 2 Timothy 1. A lot of you guys like this verse. A lot of you guys might remember this verse, but let's read it now. The Bible says now, verse number 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. So go back to Romans 8, remember that? But of power and of love and of a sound mind. So let me leave you with this. Read it carefully. This is different from the fear of the Lord. Notice this verse is referring to the content of a spirit. Notice the spirit of fear. From or out of is what the word of means, proceeding from, like as the cause or the source or the means. So the gospel and God's Holy Spirit does not originate from a spirit of fear, nor does he dispense this influence unto his children, but the devil does, and the world does. When he dispenses his fear, not a spirit in reverence and obedience, that's the contrast. The spirit of fear, however, will lead you to disobey because of the source of its power. God's source of power, contrast, is what? Notice, power, love, and of a sound mind. He wants us to walk before him in the fear of the Lord, which is reverence, I already gave you all the notes, to his holy power and nature as accountability and motivation to help you maintain good works before him. So I want you to encourage yourself this evening, friend. Don't worry about the world. Don't worry about the government. Don't worry about the workplace situation. Don't worry about what you're going through, the struggles that no one knows about, because what that's doing is it's making you scared. It's making you fearful. It's making you worry about tomorrow and certain things by which you have no power over. I just want to remind you here this evening, guys, is if you're a Christian, a child of God by faith in the gospel, God has not given you the spirit of fear. That's not of him. Matter of fact, 1 John 4 tells you what? That perfect love casts out fear. The fear of this world is from Satan, the devil, and that fear is what is trying to cause you to doubt it. It's what's trying to pull you from church. It's what's trying to distract your mind and attention from Bible and prayer. That's not God. That's just the world getting to your flesh. Let me leave you with something positive now. Here's what God has given you tonight, friend. He gave you spirit of what? Power and of love and of a sound mind. So that if you find yourself in your spiritual mental faculties, kind of up and down. You know, not really grounded, you know, a little doubtful, a little wary. I just want to remind you, God still loves you. If you find yourself struggling in love for God, love for your family, love for your Christian church, God still loves you. And if you're lacking walking in confidence, you're lacking that power of being in the Word of God and being in prayer, being in evangelism, being active within your Christian faith, I just want to remind you that God still loves you. He didn't give you that. He gave you all of these. So that's the spiritual That's the spiritual product of walking in the fear of God. It's increasing in the power and the love and of a sound mind that God gave you spiritually. Amen. And so tonight, friend, that's part five of why we now as Christians need to walk in the fear of God, need to be instructed by it, need to be taught by it, need to be guided by it, and then surrounding ourselves with Christians who are like-minded walking in that, because we're all going to help each other to keep ourselves over here. I want to be drinking from the fountain of life. I don't want the snares of death over here. I don't want the worldly drought over here. I want to keep drinking where I'll be, as Proverbs said, what? Satisfied. So tonight, friend, I hope the Word of God fed you this evening in your inner man to remind you this is where you're going to be satisfied, is when you're walking in the fear of God, that you're doing what He commanded you to do because He's God and you're not. And He will supernaturally preserve your sobriety, the soundness of your mind, the peace of your spirit. He'll do that for you. You just got to trust Him. So let's close in prayer. Abba, Father, thank you so much for allowing us to gather once again in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for the Holy Spirit of God who can teach us, give us understanding and wisdom from the Holy Word. Father, this evening, God, if there are any of your children here who have a heavy heart or who are struggling in their flesh, God, because of the world and the things of this world, God, that have been pulling them back, have been giving them reason to be fearful again or scared or worried about tomorrow and what's going to happen in the world and economy and blah, blah, blah. God, tonight I just pray that they were ministered unto by your Spirit, in their spirit, from the Word of God, of what tends to life, what preserves soundness of mind, what gives power, what encourages love. It's the fear of God. Tonight, God, if there are any of us that are struggling, if there are any of us that are weak, would you help us as the loving Father that you are? Would you strengthen us, maybe even through our church family and friends that you're putting in our lives to help us to get where you want us to be? Father, would you do that? Because, Lord, I believe it's the will of every single one of us this evening, God, that we do want to be better. We want to be a better husband, a better wife, a better parent, a better friend, a better church member. We want to be more Christ-like in those areas, but we need the fear of God to keep us going. So, Father, tonight, would you help us? And Lord, I sure thank you for anything that you'll do through this study and helping Christians to do that. Father, we thank you now, and I just pray that you would comfort us and help us to get home safely, Lord, and may this time now of fellowship be enriching to our soul. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, church family. Well, let's go. We're going to go ahead and end now, amen, and have some fellowship time. And thank you guys for coming. If you guys want any coffee, please know there's some fresh coffee. If anybody has any questions, you guys want to fellowship, we'll be here, amen, to minister to you and fellowship.